nation has been.
There are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline.
Greed.
In the dollar.
Lack of a better word.
A late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy. Economy.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Money Talks.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most respected money show on the radio. I am Troy Harmon here with DJ Barker and Jarrett McKenzie, both of whom, man, I'm going to mess this up. You got the CWS.
He got it right.
Jarrett's got a CFP as well.
That's
these
right.
Guys can answer any financial question anyone
right.
ever
Bring
thought
it.
Of, just ever thought
yeah.
of.
That's why we got our question hotline, right? Just throw it at us, guys.
That's right, yeah. Is that thing filling up?
Yeah.
I mean, as
oh,
we
man.
Talk,
oh, every
it's like
week.
A Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got to
wow.
clear it out every Monday.
Wow.
Come in.
That's all I can say. Wow. All right, guys. Stock market it took a little bit of a breather this week.
Yeah.
Looks like it's down 35 basis points, 0.35%. Man, look at real estate go, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small portion of the S&P 500, a new sector, just started out in 2016. They created a new sector for us. Used to have 10, real estate made 11. Real estate used to be a portion of financials, but you can see now why maybe they wanted to break away.
Yeah.
Real estate's up this week 3.75%.
Think interest rates are still driving most of that? I mean, what?
Well, demand, I think, is a big part of real estate. But
sure.
financials, actually, the overall financials were down 2.7%. So,
right.
You know.
Well, but as far as the demand goes, I mean, you think it's there because buyers are still able to
yeah.
get such a good rate that maybe they're.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at the situation in housing right now, you got home builders building, but the inventory continues to get depleted because there's more demand than there is supply or new supply being created.
Right.
And the only real positive, when you have a situation like that, obviously, if you're a homeowner, you like this, prices continue to climb. But with real estate loans, the interest rate on loans being relatively low, you can still, you know, have a relatively good deal when you
mm-hmm.
think about it in terms of back in the 70s when they were paying 15-16% for a mortgage.
Sure.
So, you know, today I think that comparison is pretty much a foregone, you know, it's left the building more or less. People
right.
don't even think in terms of that. But interest rates are still really attractive, and especially as long as the government continues to give us a bit of a break on that. Now, there has been some talk that, you know, maybe the mortgage deduction
mm-hmm.
could be less in the future. I think you still get a grandfather based on what I've seen. And, of course, what I've seen will change five times between now and next Monday, right?
Right.
But
as far as provisions go to this new tax proposal, is that what you're
yes,
referring to?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You just see it's such a moving target at this point. I think what I yeah. saw last was a mortgage deduction would be fine. If you already had a mortgage, if you got a new mortgage, it was going to be instead of $1 million max limit, it was going to go half that. I think some of the trade groups out there, especially, you know, those that are into real estate actually decided that that was probably not the best of ideas. And because of that, they weren't willing to support, you know, some of the provisions of the latest tax proposal. So, you know, as we go forward, we'll continue to watch that. But it's way too early to say exactly what we will get in the form of tax reform. You like that? That's
yeah,
almost
yeah.
rhymed. Yeah.
Job
anyway,
well done.
Thanks, DJ. Year-to-date, the market is looking awesome. 17.19% on the S&P 500 when you throw in that dividend. I think without the dividend, the prices are up over 15%. It's been an awesome year.
Very good.
How do you complain about that, right? Information technology up 38.36%. Year to date, unbelievable.
It is.
Yeah.
Especially after it's been on run for quite a while, right? I mean, not just this year.
Yeah.
It's been doing well for, wow, years even.
Okay, a couple, yeah. Now, I will say that, you know, we got the big boost November 7th, November 8th of last year when, you know, coming off the presidential election, mm-hmm. technology did not bounce like everything else. It almost felt like they stopped to have a temper tantrum because a lot of folks in the technological world are not huge fans of Donald Trump.
Right.
You know, part of what we see this year is a catch-up for the month and a half when the market was up almost 5% in 2016 after the election. So the last, like I said, month and a half or so, the market moved and technology didn't really do much. But starting in January, it surely has tended to catch up. One of the things you can look at, though, earnings season. So earnings season's been rolling on here for about a month at this point. We're about 90% of the way through S&P 500 earnings reports. Earnings surprise, 11.81%, meaning that the market did almost 12% better in technology than was expected by analyst expectations. Information technology earnings growth. You guys see that number, 25.87%. So not real surprising that your tech sector is up, you know, 38 when earnings have grown just in this quarter alone by 25.87.
It's unreal.
Yeah. You look at the overall report, earnings reports, growth in the market, 7%, a little better than 7%, 7.13. Second quarter was a bit better than that, 9.6. And then if you back up even to the first quarter of 2017, earnings grew by 15.5%. So a bit of a slowing in the growth, but still outstanding growth in earnings year to date over the last few quarters. I think we talked about this last week. Our most recent measure of GDP was expected to be 2.6%. Instead, we got a nice surprise at 3% growth in the economy, our domestic economy. So, you know, fundamentally, there are some reasons why we see such significant growth in earnings, because the economy is awesome. And then, mm-hmm. you know, apply that to the prices in the market. That's been looking good. One of the things we still get a lot of questions about, and you guys probably get more of it than me, being closer to the front lines where our clients call, is hey, I'm getting a little nervous. Should I go to cash? You guys had any of those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, I will be the first to say, when I look at the market, it looks expensive. We're about 32% above the average PE, the price-to-earnings ratio. So you take these earnings that have grown by 7.13% in the market, and you know, you look at the price relative to that, prices have done even better. So what's going on? When I look at the price relative to expected earnings, it too is at a premium, but it's only about half as much, like a 17% premium on that particular ratio over its long-term average. So what I really think is expectations are just really high. And why might they be high? Well, we've already talked a little bit about the tax reform.
Mm-hmm.
That would make a difference, and it sounds to me like it's still a potential reality.
Yeah.
So
you're
going
telling
forward,
us to take clients to cash? Is that what you're saying?
I'm telling you, I would never take clients to cash. Well, what we try to do to avoid that kind of thing, as Jarrett knows well,
yeah, absolutely,
is we do a financial plan for them, and mm-hmm. we determine any cash, any of their assets that they might need within the next 10 years. And if they do need those, then we set them aside, take them away from that potential volatility of the market.
Right.
And we wind up trying to help them sleep at night, knowing that the market might be expensive, whether or not the earnings grow to the point where it seems to make sense again.
Right.
You know, it kind of takes the stress away.
Yeah.
So that you know the money you need right now is not really in peril.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is we talk a lot about the statistics. So we've gone back to 1925 and looked at how the market has performed since then, especially in rolling 10-year periods. And we know that there's only a couple of instances where the market was actually negative during that period of time over a 10-year span. And we also know that the long-term average on that period in return on the S&P 500, large cap index, mm-hmm. is about 10.4%. So
that's the annual average.
The annual, well, it's the annual average on a 10-year rolling period. Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. Now, how often does it hit that? Hardly ever.
Right.
I think in the last, over that same period of time, we've gotten within 10 basis points on a couple of occasions, but for the most part, the market either overshoots it significantly or undershoots it significantly, but it's an average. So, mm-hmm. You know, again, those stats and knowing the history give us a little bit of confidence that that it will, you know, history doesn't repeat, yeah. but it often rhymes, and we believe that that's going to continue for quite a long time. Guys, we didn't get to the economic reports this week. Employment situation has been pretty awesome mm-hmm. for a long time. We're starting to see a little bit of a wage price inflation. That's usually where it starts. We'll continue looking at that. But like I said before the break, employment situation, payrolls advanced 261,000. We need about 127,000 jobs added per month in order to keep up with population growth. You know, this is good stuff. Unemployment fell to 4.1%. It's been at 4.2, 4.3. It's floating around right in there. But now 4.1%, significantly below where most people would consider we've got full employment. So a little bit.
Yeah, because what is considered full? Like some
usually
five?
It's 5%. Yeah, that's the consensus I've heard, you know, for a long time. So
how much
right
how much further can it go? I mean, how, do you know what the lowest point that has been historically?
I mean, I don't, but I know it's not been this low in many years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. So what you usually see is inflation start kicking up. Inflation spurs the Fed to react and raise interest rates. Before you know it, those interest rates drive the cost of capital for corporations through the roof, and next thing you know, you've got a slowing economy. Mm-hmm. And what's the next step? Then you might have to worry about, like we did back in 2007, 2008, 2009, recession where unemployment was over 10%. Back during the Depression, unemployment got to beyond 25%. I mean, it can get crazy, and it's usually just a factor of the economy, the health of the economy. You would have to say at this point, 4.1%, the economy's bopping along pretty good. Mm-hmm. And that 3% growth in GDP that we mentioned earlier, yeah, that's another one of those huge positives. We got some more information we want to talk about. ISM non-manufacturing, so this is the services index. It rose in October from 59.8 to 60.1. Services account for about 88% of our economic activity, so it's awesome when you have non-manufacturing indices mm-hmm. doing well. Factory orders, we got a few good numbers with that as well. Advanced 1.4% in September after 1.2% gain in August. So things are going well in the economy, and this is one of the other points. You know, I asked you guys earlier, do you have anybody that's out there asking you, you know, should I go to cash? Well, the fundamentals of the economy would tell me absolutely not.
Right.
We watched the yield curve close. It can be a trigger, a signal, you know, to indicate that things are going poorly, but we're not seeing a significant flattening of the yield curve. There's really no sign out there that would give us an indication that things are rough on the horizon.
Yeah.
You know, we know that total volatility has not gone away. We know that the business cycle is still intact. So at some point, this party will come to an end.
But right.
It's not today.
Well, that's the key, too. I think, you know, when we are in markets like we're in today, you know, going back to your example from earlier, Troy, in terms of making sure you don't have a need for the cash, well, what's your alternative if you're not going to go to cash? Well, I mean, for us, it's positioning the portfolios more defensively so that we can remain invested.
Absolutely.
And hopefully not lose as much as the markets when the economy does turn down, and can get back to making clients money as opposed to just, you know, helping them play catch up, because nobody's really progressing when you get in that sort of, you know, oppressive cycle.
Yeah, Jared, I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing that I've been encouraging folks to do as well is to rebalance your portfolio. When you know that year to date, technology is up 38%, the overall market is up 17%. What do you think could happen there? We got a one sector that's outstripped the economy, or the S&P 500 rather, by 20%. You think you might be overweight in technology?
Just
maybe.
A little.
And, you know, in order to kind of guard yourself against that potential, you should rebalance your portfolio once in a while. Yeah, is it going to hurt you to sell off some technology when you know it's had such a good run? Behavioral heuristics, those biases that we all have and can't avoid, mm-hmm. would tell you that, yeah, it probably is. Not only that, but, you know, you might have a tax implication. There's still plenty of stocks out there that you may have owned and had exposure to. If you've got losses, you can offset those gains with a loss here and there. So managing the pieces behind the portfolio, especially when you own individual stocks, as we do, you know, and encourage our clients here at Hensler Financial to do, you know, you've got tools that you can manage your portfolio, your tax situation, and many other various financial aspects.
Well, yeah, into that, I mean, you know, when our clients, they're always saying, well, goodness, you know, the market's at, you know, 15, 16, 17,000, but we continue to rise. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you rebalance at 15,000, you're not really sure which direction the market's going to go. In our case today, it's continuing to go up.
Going.
So
yeah.
It's very important to go ahead and rebalance wherever the market is, sell the growth to buy back growth, because you never know what's going to happen. Yes, the market may be a little expensive now, but it also could be a situation that we're going to continue to rise for the next who knows how long.
Well,
let's not miss another opportunity somewhere.
You know, when clients start talking about it, I always go back to the 10 best days that we always talk about. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean,
that's
what you're really risking if you do that, even in part, you know, in pulling money out. I would rather have it positioned defensively, like we were saying, than to take the chance in trying to time the market. And that's precisely why we don't, is because you need those best days. I mean, think about it. At the beginning of the year, after the election, we saw that bump. And, you know, had it just been the quick bump and then, you know, we had a tough year, you would have been, you know, not in nearly as good a shape had you decided to cash out then as you would have now, even though it looked expensive then. I mean, we were celebrating Dow's at 20,000. There's a cookie cake in here.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was saying, how much further can this thing really go? And then today we're sitting at, what, 23.5?
Yeah.
You know, you just can't.
And it seems like just a few weeks ago we passed 23. It,
right.
And it literally was.
Yeah.
It hasn't been long.
It's not long at all.
Yeah. Took a while to break that, but, yeah, it just keeps on pushing, man.
Yeah, the other thing I would say is don't get caught up in a number.
Yeah.
At 20,000, 23, whatever. What are earnings doing beneath this?
Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, look at the fundamentals. What you're actually getting for what you pay is the piece that matters most. That's the way that we analysts actually determine valuation of the market. I really don't care what the top line number is. Tell me what the ratios are, the price ratios.
That's what I always go back to when people are asking about North Korea and some of these more macroeconomic events that are happening.
That we can't forecast?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, sure, that's a concern. And yeah, there's going to be some decisions made if something like that takes place. But at the end of the day, you invest on what you know, right? And what you know is what the companies are reporting. And, you know, that's what we're always going to go back to and focus our efforts on is those underlying fundamentals, like you said, Troy.
Yeah, no doubt. Y'all stick around. Let us take a real quick break. We'll come right back. We got awesome things to come.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.